I'd like to welcome everyone this afternoon to the Festival of Appreciation. Because we're appreciating all of you, this is your festival, so you enjoy it as much as you can. And there's lots to enjoy. Kurma cooked another historic feast. It only gets better when Kurma cooks. I don't think I've ever seen such a big crowd at the temple on Sunday. I think it has a lot to do with Kurma's cooking, so if you could please just give him one more round of applause. This afternoon we've chosen a verse from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9, which is entitled, Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayer. This is actually one of Srila Prabhupada's favorite sections of the Bhagavatam to lecture from. Actually, if you look at the number of classes given over the years, most of them come from the 7th canto. So I have to ask everyone to be quiet. A lot of talking going on in the background. This is a time not for talking, but for hearing. Not necessarily from me, but we're going to read Prabhupada's purport here.
Tasmaramustanubritam aham ashishogya ayushriyam vibhavam aindriyam avirninchat nechami te vilulitan uruvikramena kalatmanopayanamam nijabritya parshvam.
Translation. My dear Lord, now I have complete experience concerning the worldly opulence, mystic power, longevity, and other material pleasures enjoyed by all living entities, from Lord Brahma down to the ant. As powerful time, you destroy them all. Therefore, because of my experience, I do not wish to possess them. My dear Lord, I request you to place me in touch with your pure devotee and let me serve him as a sincere servant. This is a famous verse. Purport. By studying Srimad Bhagavatam, every intelligent man can get experience like that of Prahlad Maharaj through the historical incidents mentioned in this great literature of spiritual knowledge. By following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, one should gain through experience that all material opulence is perishable at every moment. Even this body, for which we try to acquire so many sensual pleasures, may perish at any time. The soul, however, is eternal. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire. The soul is never vanquished, even when the body is destroyed. An intelligent man, therefore, should care for the happiness of the spirit soul, not of the body. Even if one receives a body with a long duration of life, like those of Lord Brahma and the other great demigods, it will also be destroyed, and therefore an intelligent man should be concerned with the imperishable spirit soul. To save oneself, one must take shelter of a pure devotee. Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Prayecha Keva. If one wants to save himself from material nature's onslaughts, which arise because of the material body, one must become Krishna conscious and try to fully understand Krishna. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. One should understand Krishna in truth, and this one can do only by serving a pure devotee. Thus Prahlad Maharaj prays that Lord Nrisingadev place him in touch with a pure devotee and servant instead of awarding him material opulence. Every intelligent man within this mature world must follow Prahlad Maharaj. Mahajano yinakata shapanta. Prahlad Maharaj did not want to enjoy the estate left by his father. Rather, he wanted to become a servant of the servant of a servant of the Lord. The illusory human civilization that perpetually endeavors for happiness, the material advancement, is rejected by Prahlad Maharaj and those who strictly follow in his footsteps. There are different types of material opulence, technically known as bhukti, mukti, and siddhi. Bhukti refers to being situated in a very good position, like a position with the demigods in the higher planetary systems, where one can enjoy material sense gratification to the greatest extent. Mukti refers to being disgusted with material advancement and thus desiring to become one with the Supreme. Siddhi refers to executing a severe type of meditation like that of the yogis to attain eight kinds of perfection, anima, lagima, mahima, etc. All those who desire some material advancement through bhukti, mukti, or siddhi are punishable in due course of time and the return to material activities. Prahlad Maharaj rejected them all. He simply wanted to engage as an apprentice under the guidance of a pure devotee. So, the subject matter, as we've been asked, for today's lecture is appreciating devotees. Sometimes when you are asked to give a class and you look at the verse, even for those who are experienced lecturers, sometimes you get a hard verse and you have to think a little bit about what you're going to say. But when you get a subject matter like this, appreciating the devotees, it's not at all difficult. It comes very easy for Vaishnavas because we're taught to see the good qualities in others. Of course, we may also see the bad qualities, but we see them with the desire to help the other person. One time Prabhupada said, in Krishna consciousness, we have to have a good eye and a bad eye. You have to be able to see the good qualities in others, and if you're a leader or a parent or a spiritual master, you have to be able to recognize the weaknesses, the bad qualities, but with the desire to help that person overcome them. But generally, in our association, we focus on appreciating the good qualities of other devotees. And they are many. Titikshava kurnika shudinam shavadehinam achata shatava shanta sadava sadabhushana. Sadava sadabhushana means that the Lord decorates his devotees with all good qualities so the mass of people know who to follow. Because when one is possessed of divine qualities, spiritual qualities, Krishna consciousness, love of Krishna, it's attractive even to the non-devotees. Even to the demons it may be attractive. It's a famous verse, Sad Goswami Ashtakam, where it's stated that the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were popular both with the gentle and the ruffians. Even the ruffians, which is a polite way of describing someone who may be even a suric, somehow or other, they're also attracted to the divine qualities of a saint, of a sadhu, or a sadvi. So Krishna wants his devotees to be in the limelight. Devotees don't want to be in the limelight. They're kind of shy. They don't want Pratishtha honor. They want to give all the honor to Guru and Krishna. The children are still disturbing. I think they should play in the park. But the Lord puts them into that position. Because whatever a great man does, the common man will follow in his footsteps. And whatever exemplary acts he pursues, the whole world will follow. Better to have Krishna conscious leaders who are leading us out of ignorance to truth, out of darkness to light, out of the material world into the spiritual world, and to have leaders who have no knowledge of anything spiritual, what to speak of any spiritual qualifications. There's a great need for spiritual leadership in human society. Therefore, Krishna will decorate his devotees, his surrendered devotee, his accomplished devotee, with all types of spiritual qualities. So the public can see, here is my devotee, follow in his footsteps. Just like, well, we don't see it so much anymore because the older generation, my parents' generation, most of them have departed now, but after World War II, those who were heroes in battle were recognized by the government and they were awarded medals and they were asked actually to display those medals on their chests. I remember as a young boy, going into San Francisco to do shopping with my mom or dad, I'd often see men, or sometimes also women, walking down the street on their coat. They would have medals of distinction from World War II. And the people would appreciate them. I remember even as a small child, one time a decorated war veteran was approaching the door to the shopping center, and some children stepped forward, recognizing the medals. They opened the door for him. Those days are gone, where the youth respects the qualities of the elders. But anyway, so in the same way, the Lord wants his devotee to be recognized. He wants the devotees to be in charge. Prabhupada said one reason that the whole Kurukshetra war was fought, and there were a number of reasons, but one of the principal reasons that the greatest battle of all time, in which millions and millions and millions of men were killed for upholding Dharma, one of the main reasons was to install Maharaj Yudhishthira as emperor of the world. The king of kings. Emperor means that he's the king of all the kings. There's lots of kings, but they're minor kings, they're subordinate. Emperor. And at that time, 5,000 years ago, we hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam that the emperor was in charge of the whole world. The capital of the whole world was Hastinapur, which is very near to modern-day New Delhi. Vedic culture was all over the world, and someone had to manage it. And the emperor managed the affairs of the entire world, so that the world would be in a good state, a state for becoming Krishna conscious. Krishna wanted Yudhishthira to be the emperor. So Lord places his devotees in responsible positions so the general mass of people can follow them. And we can appreciate them for what they are. Tatikshava kurnika shurinam sarvadehinam achata shatavashunta. Tatikshava. Devotee is very tolerant because he's fixed on the goal. He's neither elated when there's an opportunity for sense gratification, neither is he discouraged when there's some difficulty in his life. Eke kuru nandana, he's fixed on Krishna, the absolute truth, on his service to the Lord. Tatikshava, he's very tolerant. Even in the midst of the greatest calamity, a devotee is unmoved, he's equal poised, situated in the absolute truth. Shanta, shanti. Kurnika, although he may be very advanced, he may be very fortunate, he may have been received lots of blessings from Krishna, he's not a miser. He wants to share his good fortune with others. This is the crest jewel of all of Vaishnava's qualities, is his compassion for others. Prabhupada said the duty of a first-class man is not to subjugate others. The duty of a first-class man is to make a fifth-class man also a first-class man. Devotees want to elevate others. They're restless until they see the whole 14 worlds chanting Hare Krishna. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. So, Krunika, they're very merciful. Any opportunity they have to share Krishna consciousness with others, they will. It may be an organized effort, such as our December book marathon, or a collection drive, or the Carnival Spirituel. It may be unorganized. A devotee may just be riding on the bus to work. He always carries a little perfection of yoga in his pocket, or reservoir of all pleasure. It may be, and people do start up conversations and they inquire about you, and they may see a little glimmer in your eye they don't see in others. Prabhupada said, since my disciples have given up sense gratification and taken to the path of devotional service, they're all bright-eyed and smiling and look like they've come from Vaikuntha. So someone may inquire, why are you smiling on this cloudy day? And the devotee will take out the reservoir of pleasure or the perfection of yoga, because he knows, Prabhupada said, what will your 10-minute lecture do? But if they get one of my books, they can read it, and later it become perfect. So we always want to plant the seed. We're like, oh, we're transcendental gardeners. Lord Chaitanya has begged us. We hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita that I am a gardener with these fruits of love of God. Alone I cannot distribute them everywhere. Who will come forward and help me? Me! Devotees, we all call up Lord Chaitanya. Suridam sarvadehinam. Devotee sees everyone as a friend. How is that possible? Well, we can look to Lord Jesus Christ. This is his holiday coming up. 25th of December. This is his day, the Christians' celebration of the birth of the Son of God. When he was on the cross, after all they'd done to him, he looked to the heavens and he said, Father, forgive them for what they do. They don't understand what they are doing. So this is a devotee. Even he may meet a person who is inimical. He knows that's not that person's original nature. Jivera Supoya Krishnera Nityadas. Everyone is eternal servant of Krishna. Everyone's a loving soul. Only due to their past sinful activity and ignorance do they become covered over and possessed by lust and anger and greed. Devotee knowing this, even if he's someone yells an insult at him or chides him or may even physically attack him. Devotee's understanding. He's a friend to every living entity. It's said that Maharaj Yudhishthira's enemy was never born. Maharaj Yudhishthira's enemy was never born. This is devotee. Tatikshava kunika shuridam savet ajatashatavashanta. Again, a devotee has no enemies. Sadava sadabhushana. So if we look at devotees like this, who have become cleansed, irregardless of what they were before, we don't think of a devotee what they were like before. We don't do that. We don't think of a devotee, we don't consider or judge a devotee what they did before Krishna consciousness. That's not important. We look at a devotee on the basis of their devotional service since they joined. And it's a very potent process. So the transcendental qualities come forth very quickly. Very quickly. Transcendental qualities become manifest. So we can appreciate a devotee even after 1 week in the temple. What? He's been in the material world for millions and millions of births. How can we give such recognition after 7 days? Because he's made a quantum leap. And deciding to give up the false pursuit of sense gratification in this world, his selfish endeavors. And he's making the attempt to become Krishna's devotee, to give pleasure to Hari Guru and Vaishnavas, and we honor that. So when we say, Vancha Kalpaturu Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Beva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevi Namo Namaha, we're thinking of devotees on the platform of Uttama Arakari down to the Kanishta Arakari. Even a devotee may be fallen. He may even have left the movement. But for the service they've done this movement, which Krishna never forgets, we honor that devotee, and we're trying to make friends and bring them back into the fold of Krishna consciousness. So this festival essentially is meant to honor each and every one of you who is sitting here. Not just our courageous leaders, like Bharanaik Prabhu. Yes. He's our leader. We wouldn't have this wonderful temple, which is being managed so nicely, where we can fit in and do our service. So special recognition is given to the leaders and his team of leaders and our elders like Kurma Prabhu, other God brothers and God sisters who participate. But actually every one of you. Every one of you makes up the whole of the congregation or the temple of Krishna consciousness. And for your efforts, be they big or small, we honor you. Because without you, it wouldn't be the same. Just like this harmonium. I really like this harmonium. But I know that this little screw is as important as all the big keys here. I play the keys. I must have played them 1,000 times. If this little screw falls out, the whole thing falls apart. So everyone here, whatever your service is, it's important to the general community and especially the propagation of Krishna consciousness. So that's this festival, appreciating and associating with devotees. That's an essential aspect. We should have more festivals like this. According to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, associating with devotees and the Yuga Dharma, chanting Hare Krishna, are the two essential ingredients of becoming Krishna conscious in this age. Sometimes people ask us, summarize, what is Krishna consciousness? Newspaper reporter, what is Krishna consciousness in a few short words? But different replies, singing, dancing, little philosophy, feasting. Another reply would be, what is Krishna consciousness? It's chanting Hare Krishna and the association of devotees. Essentially, that's what it is. These two ingredients. Samsara sarpadushtanam murchitanam kalo yuge asadham bhagavan nama shrimad vaishnava shevanam. In this age of quarrel, though the remedy for those fallen souls having been bitten by the serpent of samsara in the age of Kali is the name of the Supreme Lord and menial service to exalted Vaishnavas. This is the ingredient. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, and keeping packed up tight. Prabhupada said, he came to one temple and there were so many devotees from all the different centers around that region, you couldn't even move. Everyone was like this. In the Bhagavatam class, if you moved, everybody else moved. Prabhupada, this is very nice. He said, we are packed up tight. This is how we want to be, safe in the association of devotees. Advancement is very quick for one who associates on a regular basis with devotees, because Prabhupada explains that we take on the quality of that with which we associate. Just like a businessman. If someone associates with a businessman long enough, he'll start dressing like a businessman, talking like a businessman, acting like a businessman. If someone associates with an athlete, you know, he starts lifting the weights and taking the whey powder and doing all the things and talking like that and buying a shirt two sizes too small. And if someone's a rock star, when you associate with a rock star, you may be a wannabe, but you start dressing like the rock star and you try to croak in the shower like a rock star, but you start taking on the qualities. So if we associate with devotees by chance or by good fortune or consciously we come into the association of devotees, we begin to take on their qualities. It's mysterious. We are the tatashta shakti of the Lord. We're in a special category. We're the minute living entity. God is great and we are very small. Tatastha Shakti. We're spiritual, but being very infinitesimal, tiny parts and parcels of the Lord, we are apt to become influenced by matter or by spirit. It just depends which association the living entity falls into. Like the chameleon lizard, they have this here? Chameleon, it's a lizard that we used to buy them when I was a kid. We'd actually send away for them. They arrive in the post in boxes. They do that anymore. It's pretty cruel. But we get these lizards from Indonesia or something, and I could go for hours with these lizards. You take one and you put them on a green leaf and whoop, he turned green. It's his defense, nature's defense, so the predators can't see him. Or you put him on a red surface, he turned red. Wow, Mom, look! I've looked 1,000 times, son! No, look, you put him on the brown, he turns brown. Put him on yellow, he turns it kind of orangey. So we're like that. We're tatashta shakti. We're very tiny, and it depends on with what and who we associate in our lifetime. We have to be very careful to choose our friends. A person is known by the friendship they keep. Not only because they know you because you're with that person, but because due to that association, that sangam, you begin to manifest those qualities. You begin to manifest those qualities. So if we associate intimately, we're always in association with materialistic people because we have to work. 98% of the community here has to work. So we're in association, but we're not taking their association. Essentially, we're giving our association. That's the secret. How do you live out there and not get affected? Because you're not taking their association. You're not intimidated by them. Prabhupada gave a danda to one sannyasi in Mayapur in 1975. He said, never look back and think you've left anything important behind. And never envy the position of the materialistic sense enjoyers. So we're not out there like feeling unlucky and forlorn and no. We're not there to get association, we're there to give association. At the coffee break you can say, honey bowl. You can open up your lunch and there's no meat, fish, or eggs, and people think, wow, that's really radical. What's that? You say, well, I don't eat dead bodies. You won't find any corpses in my lunch bag. Oh, what do you mean by that? So now I'll tell you what. We'll take our lunch together. Try this samosa. It's made by kurma. But we have to be careful. Because we're tatastha shakti. Associating with materialistic people doesn't just mean like, you know, being physically in their presence. Even more so, it may be hearing their philosophy. Hearing them pour out their hearts in their music. I love you, you love me. Oh, how happy we're going to be. Or the television. This is the most sinister way that Kali pervades in Kali Yuga. We call it the one-eyed guru. Aguru. Yeah. The karmis are pouring out their hearts in so many ways, through soap operas and news broadcasts and movies and plays. They're revealing their hearts, actually. It appears to be innocent, but this is Maya's trick. And by watching the television and hearing the radio and following your favorite bands, whatever they, you know, that it has a subtle influence and it collects after a while and becomes a material desire. And you wonder, where did that come from? So association doesn't just mean rubbing elbows on the bus on the way to work. Oh, get away from me, you karmi! To go bathe in the Ganges. No. It means hearing mundane discussions. Because what do they discuss about? You see what people do here for pleasure. They go to the pub and they stand outside with the beer and they talk for hours and hours and hours. It's just, that's what you do here. You go to the beach or you go to the pub. So with all due respect, because ultimately they're our brothers and sisters, but we speak in a mode of compassion, not disrespect. They've lost their way. And that type of association is called Asat Sangha Tyaga Avaishnava Achara. This is from the words of the mouth of Mahaprabhu Buddha, Sri Sanatana Goswami. A Vaishnava should not associate intimately with ordinary people. Even a little association can get you off the path. Just like in the Bhagavatam, there's a story of Ajamil, that he was a Pukka Brahmin, very Pukka Brahmin boy. Born in a Brahmin family, that's very rare. It means if you're born in a Brahmin family, it means that in previous lifetimes you acted in a very pious way. More than pious, you were learned and you got the opportunity to take birth in a righteous family. And they did all the shamskaras, and he was wearing the sacred thread. And one day, Ajamil was walking through the forest to the ashram of his guru, and he just happened to see a sudra couple who was hiding and kissing and embracing in the forest. That's not much compared to what a 5-year-old can see on TV today, but in those days it was something. It was enough to cause his mind to become agitated. And with a very short time, he gave up his pure lifestyle. And as he grew up, he married a prostitute. And they had a family, and he maintained that family by being a thief. So how did a Pukka Brahmin boy become a thief? Just one moment of inattention, it was enough to cause him to fall away. Just like swine flu. What is swine flu? You expect you're going to be walking down the street, this huge monster with H1N1 on his chest is going to walk up. I'm going to gobble you up. I'm swine flu. Ooh. No. What is swine flu? Swine flu is a virus that it's so difficult to detect that sometimes even the doctors can't detect it. They have to take your blood and put it under the microscope, and then they have to analyze it. And, you know, it's a microbe. It's a virus. It's so small, they might miss it. But when they catch it, you have H1N1. You have swine flu. It's very little. But it can bring down the biggest, most influential, most important person. Although it's very tiny. Big Hulk, athlete, pole vaulter, ready for the meet. And then next day, achoo! Oh, my tummy, my head, I can't go to the meet. Well, you're a big, strong head. H1N1. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to bring down even a transcendentalist. We have to be very careful. It doesn't take much. There's so many examples in scriptures of great souls who, due to a little inattentiveness, due to some past conditioning or some desire they haven't washed from the heart, or just chance. They just were in a weak moment. They weren't chanting. They were thinking of something else. And then boom. We have to be very careful. One time Prabhupada told one of my godbrothers, your problem is you're not afraid of Maya. You're so confident, you're so advanced now, you don't have to be afraid of Maya. To be on guard. The race is not over till it's over. Remember the tortoise and the hare. They had a race, and the hare rabbit was way ahead, so he took a nap. Prabhupada said snap. Now, and the turtle, and he kept going, and then just before he crossed the finish line, the rabbit woke up, and he tried to run to catch up, but he couldn't, and the turtle, so the race is not over. The rabbit was very confident. I'm so fast. I made so much progress. I'm practically there. I can take a nap. I can take it easy. But the turtle, he was very determined. He was a sadhaka bhakti, and I'm chanting his rounds, following the principles, taking the shadow, reading the books, going to the temple. And he made it. The rabbit became a little proud, complacent. So we have to be careful. Maya can attack at any moment. So, we don't aspire, neither do we, will we try to avoid that association. Fortunately, the same principle holds true as regards spiritual association. Just as a brief moments of association by watching the TV, which I'm sure nobody's going to go home and watch TV tonight. You'll be too scared. Maybe tomorrow morning. But at least this lecture will carry you till midnight. The same principle holds true with becoming Krishna, tatastha shakti. We're small. And if we place ourselves under the care of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas, even just a little of their association can't give us perfection. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami says, Tulya Yamalavanapi Nasvargam Napu Narabhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashisha. He says, the value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attempt to attain the heavenly planets or liberation from matter. What to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those which are meant for death. You can't compare a moment's association with a devotee to any material benediction, mystic perfection, liberation from this world, merging into the Brahman. No, because a moment's association with a devotee gives you the opportunity for pure devotional service. Amala Bhakti. Svaipum sham pada dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaje aitakiya patiyata yayatma shupashidati. The supreme occupation for all mankind means what we should be doing and trying to attain is that by which we can attain to the pure devotional service of the Lord. That service must be a haitakiya patita, unmotivated and uninterrupted. And what happens? Yayatma shupashidati. If you get that type of bhakti, that type of love for Krishna, yayatma shupashidati, you are completely happy. Shantushti. Nothing else can give that but amala bhakti. How do you get bhakti? You get it from another devotee. How do you catch a cold? Achoo! And somebody sneezes, and then you come down 3 days later. How do you get bhakti? Prabhupada says in Krishna book, the devotee is speaking in the Bhagavad. And because it's such a nectarian vibration, it collects like dewdrops in the air and falls down on the heads of the audience, and they experience ecstatic symptoms. The same thing. It's a good disease. You get the good disease of Krishna consciousness by staying in the association of devotees, even if you can't understand a word they're saying. It's true. One time I was with Srila Prabhupada. We were traveling in South India in a group of devotees, and we visited went down to Hyderabad to install, Prabhupada was going to install the Radhakrishna deities there in Hyderabad. New temple, beautiful new deities. Afterwards we went out to the farm. I forget the analogy I was going to say. Where was I, Pilat? I just forgot.
Bhakti's contagious.
Huh?
Bhakti's contagious.
Oh yes, yeah. And Prabhupada he sat down to give a lecture to some guests. This is the result of eating a feast before you lecture. I told you. He couldn't even stand. I said, I have to speak. So Prabhupada was, oh Kurma. So Prabhupada was speaking to the guests in Hindi. And he was going, I don't know any Hindi. Tora, tora. He's going on and on. And I started. And Prabhupada stopped the darshan. And I was like in a deep slum. I heard these words. Why are you sleeping when I'm speaking to the guests? And I thought I was dreaming. And I woke up. And Prabhupada said, I said, but Prabhupada, I don't speak Hindi. He said, it does not matter that you don't speak Hindi. It is transcendental subject matter. It will act. Stay awake. Yes. I didn't even blink for 1 hour, no. Even if we don't understand, just being there in that environment, in that atmosphere, cheto darpana marjanam, that's the effect. Therefore, we have to come into the physical association with as many devotees as possible for a sustained period of time. It has such an effect. What did Mahaprabhu say? Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarvashastukhoi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarvasiddhihoi. Even 1 moment's association. I think the verse goes, the verdict of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. What to speak if you are constantly in association of devotees? It doesn't mean you have to live in the temple, of course. It's not possible. This temple is not big enough for this whole congregation. But it means you have to come here as often as possible, participate in the various devotional activities, see the deities, take prasad, the mahaprasad of Radha Govinda. Nothing in the three worlds can compare with the mahaprasad. Hear the discourses, go on the harinams, start a namhata, visit devotees' houses, go to Mayapur, go to Vrindavan. You know, it's not easy because we're very busy. We're all busy as bees. But there's always room for Jell-O. There was a marketing campaign in my country many years ago, Jell-O, you know Jell-O? So it's a sweet at the end of the meal. And usually you'd think, by the end of the meal, I'm full. But their thing, there was, there's always room for Jell-O. There's always room. You're so full. Someone brings a sweet rice around. He says to you, oh, you look too full. No, 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 that's okay. It's okay, I'll take some sweet rice. Gulab jamun, okay, I'll take it. So you should see, this is the sweetest of the sweet. Madhur, madhur, madhur bhaje. This bhajan of chanting Hare Krishna in the association of devotees. It's the sweetest of the sweet. There's a beautiful prayer in the Pallava Sampradaya, where Pallava, the originator of the Sampradaya, he's singing a song about the sweetness of Krishna's feet, the sweetness of Krishna's body, the sweetness of Krishna's flute, the sweet, everything sweet, sweet. So if you realize that, if you become a little purified, your senses have become purified by chanting Hare Krishna, then you'll hanker for that sweet, you'll hanker for that association. And it's not that someone will tell you to come to the temple. You'll already be there. Where are they? We have to find them and bring them back. Prabhu, they've been there all day, you know, doing devotional service. It's the same principle. That which takes us away from Krishna consciousness, a moment's association, atsatsangatya, can bring us into a good association. Sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sadhusanga. Just like a magnet. A magnet's the same principle. If you put the negative poles of two magnets to get near each other, what happens? They repulse each other. They go, make it go away from each other. But if you turn them around and put the positive poles together, it's just how you use it, the magnet. So if you use your life to associate with non-devotees, then you'll be pulled away from Krishna consciousness. But the same principle of association is dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. Tika Acha. Prabhupada said that he created this international society for Krishna consciousness for one reason only, and that was that we could come and associate with devotees. Because naturally in a society of devotees, you're going to get devotees on different levels. Perhaps due to someone's number of years in Krishna consciousness, their advance, or because of their sincere practice of Krishna consciousness, or simply because they've been practicing Krishna consciousness for many births. And they just had a little touch of subtle desire left that they had to cleanse, so they took another birth. And for them, it just appears so easy. Many of us, we struggle through the years, but then you meet devotees, it just looks so natural for them. From day one, it was just so natural to take to the path of Krishna consciousness and chant and dance, and they remain aloof from politics and backbiting and criticizing and fault finding, and they're not prone to laziness. They can control their senses, they can control their minds, they do find time for jello. They do find time, make time, they make the time to associate with devotees. So you'll always find in any society of spiritual people, you'll find advanced souls. So just being here in the movement means that you're going to have their association. You're going to have association of devotees, your same level of Krishna consciousness. That's also good. You need a strong bond of friendship. You need friendship in Krishna consciousness. You need someone at the same level. You can talk about it like the struggles, the trials, the joys, the victories. You need a friend you can just like talk to, and you know, it's not going to, who understands and can cry when you cry and laugh with when you laugh. You need somebody like that. If you don't have that here, you'll have to go out there to get it. We need friendship. And you'll always find devotees who are less advanced than you. That shouldn't make you feel good. Yeah, look at you. No, it should make you, a sense of compassion should rise up in your heart, and you should go to them and give them whatever you have. No, but if I give them whatever I have, I'll have nothing left. No. That's mundane mathematics. Spiritual mathematics means 1 minus 1 is a million. If you give, you get back more by Krishna's mercy. Because Krishna is very happy when we take care of our devotees. He bless you. So, our association with devotees is so important, it's actually listed as one of the 64 items of devotional service. There's actually 5 items, just to summarize it, because we want, you know, life is short and we want to get in the fast lane and get home quickly. We want to take the elevator, we don't want to take the steps. It's too risky. We may get deviated. We may lose interest. There's just so many risks in this world. We just want to get home. We want to get home safe. There's no place like home, my mother used to say. Every time we go out on vacation, we drive the first thing she'd say when we pull in the garage, there's no place like home. My father would go, okay, she always say that. That's what ladies feel like. There's no place like home. Shelter, the home, and the kids, and the family, you know. So where's our real home? Golok, Golok Prem Dan Harinam Shankirtan. That's our real home. So there's an express route of the 64. There's five. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavata Shravana Mathura Vasha Shri Murtira Shraya Shravana. If you learn any verse, learn that one. One should associate with devotees, chant the holy names, hear the Bhagavatam, reside at Mathura, and worship the deity with faith and veneration. What do I have to do to become Krishna conscious? It's so complicated. There's so many things to do. I can't get all the rules and regulations. One time a devotee said, Prabhupada, are there any more rules that we have to follow besides chanting Hare Krishna? He hadn't even introduced the four regular principles yet. Prabhupada said, yes. If I told you all of them, you'd faint. There's five. Associate with devotees, chant Hare Krishna, hear the Bhagavatam, reside in Mathura or Sydney, come to the temple, and worship Radha Gopinath. They're all important, but you could say, of course, Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranitha. The Yuga Dharma, the means for becoming, achieving liberation, for becoming Krishna conscious, going back to this verse, chanting Hare Krishna. But you could also say that really the essential of those five is associating with devotees. Because the success of any of those other four are dependent on the association of devotees. We really need devotees to do those other things, isn't it? It's like salt. Generally, to appreciate the taste of food, you have to add salt. I can't imagine, like, if Kurma didn't cook with salt today. The other day, somebody, I'm not going to mention any names, but they cooked. It happened twice since I've been here. Uh-oh. I had a Mongol sweet that had no sugar in it. One day I got laddu, no sugar. And I was so hungry. And I said the prayer really fast. And I was just, needed some mercy. I bit into it. And I didn't want to say anything because it's prasad. But I thought, this is offered to Gopinath. There wasn't one grain of sugar. The other day I got a sandesh or something like that. And there wasn't one grain of sugar. So, salt. I hope this won't happen again. Not for me, but for Radha Gopinath. Salt. Imagine food without salt. Salt brings out the flavor of any kind of food. Association with devotees brings out the essence, brings out the results of any kind of other activity in devotional service. Any kind of devotional service. Just like chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting, you can chant, there's many ways you can chant. Even if you chant, you mimic the devotees. Oh, the Hare Krishnas. You're saying Krishna's name. One time Prabhupada said, if someone just chants Krishna's name one time, the Lord notes it. He marks it down in a little black book. And he follows that person birth after birth until he can make him into a devotee. So if you have someone you don't really like, just say, Hare Krishna. Can you say Hare Krishna? No, I can't say Hare Krishna. Thank you. Even if you just say a part of the syllables, Haram, Haram! What does haram mean? It's an Arabic word. Arabic language. Al-Akbar al-Humdula. So haram, haram. It means that how horrible, how horrible. They're being, Prabhupada gave the analogy, in the old days they would go to the forest to hunt. you know, like the Khatri is the warrior. So the Muslim warriors would go to hunt. And sometimes they would be attacked by a wild animal. They may be attacked by a wild boar. And for our Muslim brothers and our Muslim sisters, the most horrific thing is to be killed by a pig. They avoid eating pigs. And so if you got stabbed by a boar, haram, haram, how horrible. But you woke up in Vaikuntha. Anyway, almost. Some benefit was there. You got to take birth again, but this time in a devotee family. And you might be a little rascal when you were young because of your past conditioning. But haram, you chanted just a syllable of the holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Figuraha. There's no difference between the name, fame, form, pastimes, paraphernalia of God and God. Holy name is identical to Krishna. But to get the prem, which is the ultimate benefit of chanting Hare Krishna, you have to receive the mantras of Guru Parampara. You have to take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master in Krishna consciousness, and you become blessed to get the full benefit of chanting the holy names of the Lord. In essence, there's someone there to train you. It's a science. Krishna consciousness is a science. There's a hypothesis, there's an experiment, there's a result. But you need someone to train you in the finer aspects of chanting Hare Krishna. Not just chanting. Trinadapi sunichana, torapi shahishtana, amanina, manadina, kirtana yadshada hari. If you're going to chant like that in a humble state of mind, thinking yourself lower than the straw on the street, more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects unto others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names constantly and get the full benefit. It's not just the lips are moving. There's a science. And you need someone to train you in the science. So you get initiated, it means that someone's taken the responsibility to educate you and enlighten you about the process and the glories of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So to get the full benefit of chanting Hare Krishna, you have to take initiation in the Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and then only you can get prema. To get the full benefit of chanting, we need the mercy of a devotee. And devotees are very happy to spread the chanting. Sarvabhauma also wrote a beautiful prayer. Tilaka vimala mala namo yukta pavitraha hari hari kala madhye evam evam bababhuva. From the moment that the holy names of Hari appeared on the earth, Vaishnavas became manifest everywhere, adorned with faultless tilak and neck beads, and equipped with the Maha Mantra. In the midst of the age of Kali, they purified the atmosphere, chanting, Hari, Hari, Evam, Evam, Bababhuva. So indeed, it came to pass. I just love that verse. That is a prophecy by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 500 years ago about ISKCON, essentially. From the moment that the holy names of Hari appeared in the earth, Vaishnavas became manifest everywhere. Australia, America, China. Adorned with faultless tilak and neck beads and equipped with the Maha Mantra. In the midst of the age of Kali, they purified the atmosphere, chanting, Hari, Hari. So indeed, it came to pass. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya ki. Then there's Bhagavat Shravana, means hearing the Bhagavatam. The importance of the Bhagavatam is well known to devotees. By regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. You have to hear the Bhagavatam. If you can't hear it here, you have to hear it at home. That's why Krishna gave the intelligence to the scientists to make iPods. Yes, Mr. Steve Jobs. Tesham satada yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvikam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who serve me with love and devotion. I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So the Lord gave the intelligence of Mr. Steve Jobs. Do it like this. What do I call it? Call it iPod. So you may not be at the temple, but you're home cooking. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. If you have a spiritual master, if you have chosen your spiritual master and you're following him, your initiative, you must hear from him regularly. You cannot advance in Krishna consciousness without hearing the Lord's representative, your chosen representative. Of course, we hear from all gurus, but in particular, we have to hear from our spiritual master because he's the one who's meant to inspire us. He's the one that's taken responsibility, take us back to Godhead. He's the one we want to follow in his footsteps. And the essential relationship between guru and disciple is one of hearing. Tadvidi paripatena paripashana shevaya. Approach such a person, inquire from him submissively, and then render service. So, yes, the Bhagavatam is one of the five, but the Bhagavatam means you don't just sit and read. Oh, that's been it, because we're reading Prabhupada, of course. But we have to hear from a devotee. Bhagavata Gya Gora Bhagavata Shtane, Mahaprabhu said. One should hear and study the Bhagavatam only from the person Bhagavatam. The speaker has to be, as far as possible, a transparent via medium. Because it's the Lord speaking through him, and not that the Lord's up top and he's speaking through him, but he's repeating the message of Godhead. And he has to be a transparent via medium in order to instill Krishna consciousness to the heart of his audience. If there's some selfish motivation there, that he's doing the Bhagavad Shapta. Bhagavad Shapta means that at a certain time of the year, someone takes the Bhagavatam and he speaks for 7 days. If you can read all the 18,000 verses in 7 days. And afterwards he goes around and he asks for a donation. He's reading the Bhagavatam not for the purpose of enlightening, but as a business, as a profession to make money. Hearing from such a person you will not get the same effect if you hear from a devotee who's doing it out of mercy, just sharing his realizations with others. We like to tell the story of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He was giving a lecture one time in India in a hall next. Well, it was a building, and there was a lecture hall, and there was the deity room nearby. So he was speaking, and in the middle of the lecture, that bell began, the artik bell, the conch blew. So a few of his students stood up in the middle of the lecture and walked out to go see the artik. And after the artik was over, they came back to the lecture, half hour later. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he stopped, he said, "Where were you?" "Guru Maharaj, we went to see Krishna." And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, "You have only seen stone. If you want to hear Krishna, you sit and you listen to your spiritual master. Then Krishna will be revealed." So we have to... Bhagavatam, yes, it means person Bhagavatam, hearing from the devotee of the Lord. So Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravana, Mathura Vasha. Mathura Vasha means living in a holy place. Many people have a misconception about a holy place. You just go there and, you know, just by visiting it, you get purified. Nowadays, there's the new road. It's a 4-lane highway, 2 lanes on each side from Delhi to Agra. They didn't make it for Vrindavan. They made it for the tourists. But fortunately, you know, the Muslims built that place out there. They didn't know how it was going to facilitate the Vaishnavas hundreds of years later. But you can speed out to Vrindavan now in about 2 hours. So very often you see on the weekends now, Vrindavan is just chock-a-block, full of people, Delhiwalas. They come out there and boom, they try to drive through the small streets, you know, the big fat man, the lady, they don't want to get out of the car and walk, of course. So they drive, you know, these big Tata Sumos, you know, these like jeeps through the streets. There's hardly room to walk there. And they're driving and they get all angry at the people walking. "Hey, out of our way, out of our way." And they get out and they see the deity, they buy some sweets and they go back to Delhi. "I have been to Braj. I have seen Krishna. Have you seen Krishna, Swami?" But still, there's so much benefit from going there. But my point is that Prabhupada said the real benefit in going to a holy place is to associate with the holy people that are living there. Because again, those holy people are there for their own benefit, and someone happens to come, the sadhus are always speaking. That's how we become realized. The example is there in Lord Brahma. How did Lord Brahma become realized? His guru was Krishna. He had a special guru. His guru was Adi Guru, Krishna. How did Krishna enlighten him? He played his flute. He took his venu, and he played his venu, and from his venu came his vamsi. From his vamsi came the Gayatri Mantra out of Krishna's flute. It entered into the right ear hole of Brahmaji, into his heart, and he became Krishna conscious. So when we go to Vrindavan, make sure that you spend a lot of time in hearing the Bhagavatam classes and going on Parikrama with Dina Bandhu. He's my Vrindavan Parikrama guru. And finally, Shri Muttira Shradhaya Shravana, serving the deity. Serving the deity is very potent. But how do we know anything about the deity if it wasn't for Prabhupada? Prabhupada introduced deity worship to the Western world. The Westerners are thinking anything like anything that even has a scent of deity worship is idol worship. But now it's flourishing in the West. If that was the concept of Western people, mentality, that deity worship was idol worship, what happened? There's thousands of temples. So many of the Westerners have become Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, and with great faith, they're approaching the Lord with folded hands, repeating the prayer in Chaitanya Charitamrita of the young Brahmin who went back to ask the deity to stand witness, Sakshi Gopal. My dear Lord, you are not a statue. You are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. Please bear witness. Come back to my village in Orissa and stand witness for me, please. And the deity said, well, how I will go? I am a deity. How I can walk? And the boy smiled. He said, Lord, if you can talk, you can walk. So we have this faith. How we have this faith? The deity is not just stone, that Krishna is there by his mercy. Because of one pure devotee, Śrīla Prabhupāda. And everything about worshipping that deity. Shri Vigraha Radhana Nityanana Shringaratan Mandira Marjanado. The spiritual master is always engaged in the temple worship of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. He also engages his disciples in such worship. They dress the deities in beautiful clothes and ornaments, clean their temple, and perform other similar worship. Actually, when we're worshipping the deity, even our deities, these are my deities, actually, what we're doing is we should be thinking, who am I to approach Krishna? I'm still an aspiring devotee. I'm still a sadhaka. I'm still Kanishta Adhikari. Who am I to approach Krishna? I'm assisting my spiritual and the master in the worship of this deity. This is not my deity. I don't own Krishna. Krishna owns me. And essentially, by his causeless mercy, he's appeared. So before my puja, I worship my Guru Maharaj, and I take his blessings. Guru Maharaj, please let me assist you in the worship of this Shalagram. Let me assist you in the worship of your beloved Radha and Krishna. We're assisting the spiritual master. That is the real meaning, because everything is to train us to be the servant of the servant of the servant. When we go back to the spiritual world, we don't have a direct relationship with Krishna. We're not like Sakis and special Manjaris. We will assist the liberated souls. We'll assist our spiritual master in his service to his spiritual master, to Krishna, like that. We're forever the servant. Don't get discouraged. Oh, really? Yeah, it's very nice to be the servant of a glorious master. If you have a very glorious, benevolent, realized master, you're safe and secure. He'll provide everything for you. Whatever you need to get out of this world into that world, that's the spiritual master's responsibility. You just serve faithfully. Prabhupada says in one purport, for the sincere disciple, the spiritual master takes full responsibility for his deliverance. We'll always be the servant. Even as masters, we're servants, because all of us who are doing the service of spiritual master, we sit at the feet of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada means he who's at feet, at whose feet all the masters sit. He is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And anyone who is acting as a spiritual master can do so only on his authority, acting as a proper representative, spreading the message exactly as Prabhupada did it. Then they can be effective. So in deity worship, we're assisting our guru. What do we know of Krishna? I know he's blue. I know he plays a flute. So gradually, they will all be revealed by the mercy. Even our Radha Gopinath. How did we get them? Prabhupada brought them here. He brought Radha Gopinath. You should always remember that. That's not the same everywhere in the world. You have some special grace. You have no excuse for not becoming pure devotees in your lifetime. You have some special incentive here. That Prabhupada personally, with his own arms, brought Krishna to you. One time he said, "Here is Krishna, take him." That you cannot achieve Krishna through any type of material activity. Millions of years of mystic, practicing mystic powers or merging the Brahma. But you meet one pure Vaishnava like Prabhupada, here he is, take him. Wow. That's the shortcut to get the Sangha association of a pure devotee and his representatives. All the devotees of ISKCON. So altogether, these five most essential items of devotional service, they like the salt. You put the salt in the preparation, the flavor, the benefit comes out. You salt all the other activities of Krishna consciousness with the association of devotees, and you become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada, anyone who thinks he can be Krishna conscious outside of the association, whenever we can get it, of devotees, is living in hallucination. Vishya Vavishta Murkanam Chitta Shamskara Ashadanam Vishram Bheno Guru Seva Vaishnavo Chitta Bhojanam. The medicinal herb to purify the minds of fools absorbed in sense pleasure is faithful service to Sri Guru. The diet is remnants of prasad taken by Vaishnavas. Are there any remnants left over here today? Does anyone know where Kurma Prabhu's plate is? We can take a little remnant. So, yes, we must take advantage of this priceless treasure of associating with devotees while we can. This verse mentions in particular pure devotees, and the association of Srila Prabhupada is always available. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. A Vaishnava dies to live, and while living tries to spread the holy name around. Prabhupada is as present now as he was when he was physically present for the sincere practitioner. Why do you think he spent from 1 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the morning every day, practically, of his life, once he was older, writing the purports to his books, just for those of us who were his direct disciples for the few years he was with us? No. He said, one day my books will become gospel. That's how you get his association. So we should also hear the taped lectures of Srila Prabhupada as our founder acharya, our Param Guru, and we should read his books very carefully, and we should associate with senior members in the movement. Although we respect all devotees, there are senior members who have grasped and have caught the message and are practicing it. If that was not the case, then it would not attest to the spiritual powers of Srila Prabhupada to elevate his disciples to an exalted level. Some people are kind of hoping maybe that there won't be any advanced members of ISKCON and get Prema Bhakti, but that would mean that Prabhupada was not the pure devotee he was, able to elevate even the most fallen soul to the topmost stage of devotional service. So you will find such devotees. We have our Radhanath Swamis and our Shivaram Swamis and our Bibi Govinda Maharajas and Bir Krishna Goswamis and Prabhu Vishnu Swamis and Kurma Prabhus and Matajis as well, Urmila Mataji, and there's so many advanced our GBC Malati. So many. Not by gender, it's a question of the heart. We should recognize that these great souls are there, and while they're there, we should take their association. We should serve them, assist them. They may not be here forever. Another generation will take over. And in that generation, you'll find Uttama Madhyama and Kanista. But there's something special about every generation. There was a special about Prabhupada's generation. I remember going with Prabhupada. Some of the programs, you know, we'd go to, in Bombay in India, we'd go to the house of very, very wealthy, extremely wealthy, but extremely Krishna conscious families. And how they would receive Srila Prabhupada, the culture that was there, receiving him when he came, how they were dressed, how the house was sparkling clean, how every preparation was so perfect, how opulent were the deities in the house. They're older Indian people. And just how they talked and interacted, it's gone now. It's gone. I feel so fortunate I was able to see that generation, you know, Prabhupada's generation, even a little older even when Prabhupada was there, there were some older people. Just how Krishna called that Bengali culture, so rich with Chaitanyaism, Vaishnavism. It was just, I walk in as a young boy, you know, 21, 22, and just, wow, the food. I mean, you couldn't stop us from eating the body, and the way they served it, everything, it was just remarkable, and it's gone. I mean, maybe in a few places, but now India is losing it so quickly. It was a special generation, and Prabhupada's, and then this next generation of Vaishnavas, so many wonderful devotees in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Something unique, we have to grasp it while it's there. It won't be there forever. And then your generation, as you grow up and you come of our age, there'll be something special about those who were the Gurukulis, the Gurukuli generation. Maybe didn't go to the Gurukul, but who took up after we left. And your unique contribution, keeping the flow going. I was just thinking, because I was telling the devotees this morning, one of my godmothers, Yadubara Prabhu, he received an anonymous video in the mail, and he immediately wrote me. He said, "Hinduduna Maharaj, I've got this video someone sent me. I don't know even know who sent it. It's old video, but it's still, you can still see it well. It's Prabhupada's visit to Geneva in 1974. He said, "You're all over the place with Prabhupada. You're playing Mridanga and leading the kirtan." I went, "Wow, really?" He said, "Yeah, I've got it on tape." I think, you couldn't have given me a better, you could, even if you gave me all the opulence of this world, even all the opulence of Vaikunth, you couldn't have given me a better present than that video to see. But I was thinking, it's so far back in time, I can hardly remember those moments. You know, being with Prabhupada and chanting and dancing, sitting and listening to him speak, going to programs with him. And I was thinking, yeah, but that's like, it's like that with my disciples right now. They look like I looked 35 years ago. 40 years ago, when I was Prabhupada, I look at the pictures of me with Prabhupada. Yeah, that's how Ronnie Priya looks, and that's how, you know, Balabi looks, and that's how Kalindi looks, and that's how Gaurahari looks, and, you know, all smooth face, bright, and strong. And I'm thinking, that was a special time. And one day you'll look back and you'll think, "Oh yeah, now I'm all wrinkled and old, and there's a picture with Gurudev at the Carnival Spiritual in Sydney." That was a long time ago. And so many things will happen, and so many victories will be there, and that just a special way. It's like waves. Every wave, no wave is the same. No two snowflakes are the same. No two waves are the same. So you're, as Prabhupada's generation was a wave, and then in our humble way, our humble attempt, humble mumble, attempt to follow in Prabhupada's footsteps and carry on for him, another wave, and then you'll be a wave. So, you know, now we still have the advantage of senior men and women in this movement. She shaba shangira shange je kailo bilas se sangana paye kande narotamodas. Being unable to attain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam simply weeps. Dukha madhye kona dukha haya guru tara, Krishna bhakta vira vina dukha nahi dekhi para. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? Sri Ramananda Rai replied, apart from separation from the devotee of Krishna, I know no unbearable happiness. But you thank God that Kurma cooked the feast today. There's about 108 temples around the world who would give anything, my father used to say, they would give their right arm to have the association of such a devotee. When he came on the tour, on the Polish tour, he was doing cooking demonstrations. It was a couple of years ago. And to this day, every festival, somebody comes and said, where's the man from Australia with the Australian accent? Like, what kind of accent is he supposed to have? Where's the man from Australia with the Australian accent who cooked that nice food? And such a... his demeanor was so nice. And he was such a gentleman. And that food was so good. I always meet people like that. And all the Prabhus and Matajis who are visiting like that. These are special times. We should be able to recognize the choice of the moment and take advantage of it. And we should also be able to recognize and honor those who are up and coming. You're all up and coming. Up and coming. And every generation has its devotees who lead the congregation. And amongst the congregation, there's many silent soldiers. Not that Kurma cut all the sabjis himself. He had a team, and they worked for many hours. He was started cooking 2 days ago. There's the silent soldiers who do all the cut-ups and who, you know, clean the temple, work in the administration, are out with the buckets, or at home raising their children. It's not an easy service. If you actually have two children or three children, it's not an easy service. You're fully engaged all the time. And what is the benefit? It's a long-term investment. Shreyas and prayas. Shreyas means immediate benefit. Being a householder is really prayas. You've got to wait a long time till that he or she's 21. Ma, I want to thank you for all you did for me, that I could grow up and, you know, become part of ISKCON. Oh, really? You think like that? I thought you'd never say. So everyone's contributing. Again, everyone's a special soul who's part of this movement, and everyone should be recognized and everyone is honored, because again, they've taken the bold step of turning their back on Maya. Turn your back on Maya. No. Just say no. There was a campaign in America a few years ago to get kids to stay away from drugs, so they had a campaign slogan. Every campaign has a slogan. So the slogan was, just say no. When the drug pusher comes to your high school and offers you the marijuana or the crack or the speed at a reduced price, just say no. And if you can do it, we honor you. If you can turn your back on the material energy, the propensity to enjoy in this world, if you can just turn your back and just say no, and you turn around to Krishna and you say, I do. Yes. Ram says like that. Anyone who comes to me and says, Ram says in Ramayana, anyone who comes to me and says, my dear Lord, for so long I have forgotten you, but now I am your surrendered servant. Ram says, I take that person, I take charge of that person. He said, I heard in a lecture by Radhanath Swami, he said, Ram said, in the untold stories of the Ramayana, even if Ravana were to come to me and say, Ram, for so long I have forgotten you. Now I am yours. I would take charge. I would take care of. So turn your back on the illusory energy of Maya. And by turning your back on the darkness, you'll face the light. You'll face Krishna consciousness. Whole new experience. Krishna consciousness. So someone who does that, we honor them. And anyone who's here today, we honor you. Because to a greater or lesser degree, you have turned around and you're facing Krishna, and in your heart of hearts you want to be Krishna's devotee. In your heart of hearts You want to go back home, back to Godhead. And you're trying as best as you can. Sometimes you slip, sometimes you fall, sometimes you stumble. But as my Muslim friend in Oman told me, he said, Swami, did anybody ever fall down in your movement? I said, yeah. He said, in Islam too. I said, really? I never heard. Oh, yeah, yeah. Shh. But we say, if you fall down 9 times, pick yourself up 10 times. So we honor every one of you who are here today for all the service that you're doing. You're all dear to us. We love you all. And that's the goal of this festival, to honor you. Wonderful feast has been prepared for your pleasure. We've spoken a few humble words, and there's lots of kirtan. Time does not permit us, as Varanaika Prabhu was saying, to mention each and every devotee. We can only call upon one prayer today. I'd like all of you to say this prayer along with me. We can call upon one prayer that will, according to our tradition, acknowledge the service of every devotee who is here today. So please, everyone, fold your hands and sit properly and close your eyes, and with all the devotion that you can muster from your heart, you repeat after me, thinking well of all the Vaishnavas here and in this country and in the world throughout the universe and everywhere. And repeat after me at the same time. Vancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhu eva cha patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo. All glories to the Vaishnavas. Grantara Shimar Bhagavatam ke.